the question.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We start by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and thanking Him and bearing witness that there is no deity but Him. No one deserves the attributes of greatness in heavens and earth except Him. No one deserves the names, the creator of all, the supporter of all, the all-knowing except Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His messenger. May Allah peace and prayers be shed upon him, his companions, his household, and those who follow him until the day of judgment. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. But still in the name of Allah, the all-knowing, that describes the nature of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the knowledge of Allah, this particular name, is the source of existence. The name that works with the Creator. We exist because we are exist in the knowledge of Allah. We are existing on earth because we exist in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not that we exist in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because we exist on earth. It's not the other way around. And this name causes confusion that needs to be clarified. As the other names, they always have one catch here, there, one misunderstanding here, one misunderstanding there. Is how is everything is written, man. Everything is written. I mean, how come we have choices? I mean, if it's written, then I don't have choices. I mean, how? Allah knows it up front and we have the choice. Indeed, Allah, this is one of the wonders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He's able to know what you're going to choose without forcing you to choose it. We, as humans, how do we know the future? The only way you and me will know the future is if we make a plan, okay, and then we force people to follow the plan. Here's the plan. And then we force people, you have to follow the plan. You can't make your own choices. You have to follow my plan. That's the only way we know the future. Then, but Allah doesn't need to do that. We are limited human. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, without forcing you, will know the future, will know what you're going to choose. If I may use this simplified example, the teacher comes at the beginning of the year to the students and say, hey guys, let's cut it short, okay? Let's not go through the course and the headache and the homework and anything. You, A plus. You, B minus. You, F. You, C. You, these are your grades. I'm just cutting it short. Hey, excuse me. Of course, the guy who got A plus. Yes, I think you're right. Yeah, that's a good idea. Let me go to Jannah. The guy who got an F. What? How could this be fair? Without test? I mean, who told you that I did an F? I mean, you are so unfair. And of course, he got an F so he can, astaghfirullah al-azim, insult and accuse his Lord. The guy who got a B says, ya Allah, I would convince myself that you're fair. But something here, right here, is telling me that I'm just not able to control that feeling in my heart that feels that it's not fair. But I promise you, I will convince myself that you're fair. I will work on myself, and it just takes a time. Give me some time to work on my heart, to convince my heart too. Okay? And so forth. So the teacher said, okay, fine. And let me remind you, by the way, about that feeling that comes on the heart. This is natural. I mean, it depends on how the quality of your heart. Let me remind you about Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. When Prophet Muhammad came and he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said, overnight I traveled to Jerusalem, and then I went up to heaven, and I came down to earth, and then I came back to Mecca, and that happened before his bed even, before the warmth in his bed goes away. Now, everybody, and we're talking about the companions of the highest quality, the companions of Prophet Muhammad, and not any companions, no. The companions, the pioneer companions, the companions who arrived to Islam first, the companions that Allah described in Surah At-Tawbah, which is Surah number 10. Verse number 100. Notice the number. 10, 100. He said, وَالسَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ مِنَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارِ وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُمْ بِإِحْسَانٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْهُ وَعَدَّ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ. And the pioneer Muslims who arrived to Islam first, Allah, and the ones who follow the footsteps in righteousness, Allah is pleased with them, and they will be pleased with Him. And He prepared for them gardens of eternity. Rivers are flowing underneath. This is the quality of those companions. Guess what happened when the Prophet ﷺ told them that he did that? Okay? See? First, everybody hesitated for a minute. Some hesitated to accept for a minute. Some hesitated for 2 minutes. Some hesitated for 10 minutes. Some hesitated for 2 days. Some hesitated for a week. And some have denounced Islam during that time. And those are the highest quality. The people who were Muslims win the price of becoming a Muslim was extremely, awfully expensive. So we're not talking about anybody. Only one out of this community of top believers, only one did not even hesitate for a fraction of a second to accept the truth. And he earned himself a title. His name before that incident was Abu Bakr ibn Abi Quhafa. After this incident, he became Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. As-Siddiq. As-Siddiq is the one who believes the unbelievable if it comes from Allah or the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And while the Prophet was telling the story and everybody's mouth was dropped like this, huh? Jerusalem? Heaven? Down? Back? Whoa! You know, when everybody was doing that, he was saying, Sadaqt. 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 So it is not easy to clear that feeling in the heart. And you can see the wisdom of Allah. So the teacher says, okay, fine guys. Fine. You want to go through the course and do the homework? Let's do it. And then at the end of the semester, the one whom the teacher said, A, got an A. B, got a B. C, got a C. And the one whom the teacher said, F, got an F. On his own, without the teacher forcing them. These are one of the wonders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's the one who created everything. And he is the one that knows what he's doing. And he chooses the right person in the right place. If you want to know if Allah likes you or not, see what role Allah have chosen for you. What is your role of life? What role are you playing in this life? If you're playing the role of a righteous person who is struggling for the sake of Allah, who cries in the prayers, who his heart is very sensitive to Allah, who is fasting the day, who is praying during the night, then know that Allah loves you. If you are playing the role of a hypocrite person who is giving his brothers a hard time, who is doing this and that, who's driving wedges between brothers, who is, know that Allah doesn't like you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, Allahu a'lamu haythu yada'u risalata. Allah knows exactly whom He is choosing to play the role of a prophet. It's not haphazard. It's based on His infinite knowledge and wisdom. Everybody is selected by Allah to play that role. So don't wonder how come this person is good and blah, 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 and he is not accepting Islam. Allah have chosen him to play that role. Why? Because Allah knows that this is His. And these are His choices. And He's picking them, Allah's picking for him the role that will fit His choices at the end. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sometimes knows what's in the heart, but He will not allow the person to do everything in his heart. For example, in Egypt, there are so many pharaohs. Other than the big, huge pharaoh, there are so many pharaohs. Every one of them is a pharaoh in his own little kingdom. In the little kingdom that Allah made him a king in, he is exercising what the pharaoh has exercised. The heart of that person is exactly identical and similar to the heart of the pharaoh. And this is what is important. Allah says in the Quran, كَذَلِكَ قَالَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ مِثْلَ قَوْلِهِمْ تَشَابَهَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. That's the key word. تَشَابَهَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. The people before them have said the same thing and have done the same thing, for their hearts are similar. Similarity of hearts. And even in Surah Al-Baqarah, one third of Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah is castigating to the children of Israel who were living at the time of the Prophet and blaming them for what? For mistakes that have been done by the early Jews. Remember? وَاتَّخَذْتُمُ الْعِجْلِ. Wait a minute. اتَّخَذْتُمُ الْعِجْلِ. You worshipped the calf. That was at the time of Prophet Musa. We are in the time of Prophet Muhammad. Then why Allah is blaming us? Because you have the same hearts. The hearts of the one who worshipped the calf is the same like your heart. You are repeating the same thing but different scenario. You're playing the same role, but different time, different outside, different incidents, different. But it is the same role. Exactly like the roles of the one who worshipped the cave. Exactly like the ones who say, show us Allah explicitly. Exactly like them. So I'm blaming you, I'm blaming them, for you are having similar hearts. So Allah knows that there are so many people in Egypt that have, I'm saying in Egypt an example, that have the heart of the Pharaoh. But because Allah is Latif, He is the one who mitigates evil in the hearts, Allah does not give all of them the powers of the Pharaoh. Why? Because if all of them have the powers of the Pharaoh, Earth is going to be destroyed, man. If Allah will give everybody, Allah knows that there are so many hearts like the hearts of the Hitler. If Allah will give all those people the powers that Hitler has, just look what Hitler, just one Hitler did, and just multiply by 1 million Hitlers who, but at the end, both of Hitlers get the same exact identical copy of sins. For this little Hitler was stopped from doing the big Hitler, what the big Hitler did, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the evidence, the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who said, إِنَّمَا الدُّنْيَا لِأَرْبَعَةِ نَفَرٍ, that there are four kinds of people in this life regarding the hearts. رَجُلٌ أَتَاهُ اللَّهُ مَالًا وَعِلْمًا فَهُوَ يُنْفِقُهُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَفِي طَاعَةِ اللَّهِ وَرَجُلٌ أَتَاهُ اللَّهُ عِلْمًا وَلَمْ يُؤْتِهِ مَالًا فَهُوَ يَتَمَنَّى أَنْ يُؤْتِيَهُ اللَّهُ مَالًا فَيُنْفِقَهُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ فَهُمَا فِي الْأَجْرِ سَوَاءٌ. And the Prophet did like this. He said, there are two people. One whom Allah gave wealth and power, and he gave a good heart and knowledge. So he's spending and employing his wealth for the causes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants, for the sake of Allah. And another man has the similar heart, but doesn't have wealth. And he wishes, Ya Rabbi, I wish I have wealth. He wishes to have wealth so that he will spend, or she will spend, the wealth in the same way the first one is spending. The Prophet said they are equally rewarded like that. And then he said, وَرَجُلٌ أَتَاهُ اللَّهُ مَالًا وَلَمْ يُؤْتِهِ عِلْمًا فَهُوَ يُنْفِقُهُ فِي مَعْصِيَةِ اللَّهِ وَرَجُلٌ أَتَاهُ اللَّهُ لَمْ يُؤْتِهِ اللَّهُ مَالًا وَلَمْ يُؤْتِهِ عِلْمًا فَهُوَ يَتَمَنَّى أَنْ يُؤْتِيَهُ اللَّهُ مَالًا فَيَفْعَلْ مِثْلَ مَا فَعْلَ الْأَوَّلِ فَهُمَا فِي الْوِزْرِ سَوَاءٌ. What a man that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give him a bad heart and give him a wealth. So he's employing his wealth in destruction, in killing, in burning, and doing this and doing that, and in throwing evil parties and encouraging, getting people interested into the business of shaitan. On the other hand, another person whom Allah has not given knowledge, but not given wealth as well. So that person wishes that he gets the wealth of his third one, so that he will spend it the same way. The Prophet said they are equally sinful. Why? Because of the similarity of the heart. And wallahi, I have seen it in Egypt with my own eyes. There was that there was that babe walking on the curb, okay? And that babe was like, she was inviting people to stop. So there was a rich guy with a Mercedes. He pulled over and he said, shh. So she said, okay. She came and she, you know, ride it with him. So that's the example of guy number three, right? The example of guy number four is a guy on the other curb. He took his whatever he's wearing, head covering. Damn it! Look at those guys! They are enjoying their life, Mercedes and babe, and we are here not able to eat. Damn it! I wish I have money to do the same. I wish I have Mercedes to do the same. Wallahi, you feel very sad. You men have earned the same sin. Whatever he's going to do during that unblessed night, unholy night, you're going to have a copy. Just the at least, man, at least enjoy it. But I mean, he's like the poor Jew. He's loser in this life and loser in the hereafter. You didn't get either one of the two, you know. So this is example of that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, don't wonder. When you see somebody and don't say, Ya Allah, how come you're not guiding this person to Islam? Ya Allah, how come? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows exactly what is he doing and whom he is choosing to play this role. He's the author of the entire book, man. He's the author of the entire book. And the entire book is in his hand. The book of this universe. This universe is a book in his hand. He's the author of the first page and he's the author of the last page. The whole book, it's not that something that he's going to discover. It's not that the future that he's going to discover. We are nothing but words. And these in this book, word Ali, word Jesus, kalimatun ismuhu al-Masih, word called Jesus, word called Zakaria, word called, we are words in his book, words that he has authored before. He knows exactly, if I may use this simplified example. Let's say a step in time. Now we are in this minute. So Allah looks at the hearts of everybody. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides what is going to happen next. Based on his nature and his attributes. He does not let the amount of evil in our hearts, okay, is enough to destroy the earth. Enough to destroy the earth. But Allah does not want to destroy the earth. So he will let enough evil come out of the hearts into reality, enough to test us, but not enough to destroy the earth. Because he's a Latif. Enough to test us. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ظهر الفساد في البر والبحر بما كسبت أيدي الناس ليذيقهم بعض بعض الذي كسبوا. Corruption and destruction has appeared in the land and in the sea because what the people have done, so that they may test some of what they have done. Some. Why? To reconsider and repent. In Surah Al-Sajda that the Imam reads every Friday, وَلَنُذِيقَنَّهُمْ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَدْنَى دُونَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَكْبَرِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. We will make them taste the small little punishment of this world before they get to the big huge punishment of the hereafter, so they may reconsider and repent and correct their path. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when the believers lost the battle of Uhud, and then they started blaming it on the knowledge of Allah. Okay? Just so Allah said, أَوَكُلَّمَا أَصَابَ Surah Al-Imran, أَوَكُلَّمَا أَصَابَتْكُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَدْ أَصَابْتُمْ مِثْلَيْهَا قُلْتُمْ هُوَ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ. Is that right, the verse? Every time you are struck by a punishment from Allah, because of what you have done, you said it is from Allah. قُلْ هُوَ مِنْ عِنْدِ أَنفُسِكُمْ. No, don't say it's because of Allah. Say because of us. For you, حَتَّى إِذَا فَشِلْتُمْ وَتَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ وَعَصَيْتُمُ الرَّسُولَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا أَرَاكُمْ مَا تُحِبُّونَ مِنْكُمْ مَنْ يُرِيدُ الدُّنْيَا وَمِنْكُمْ مَنْ يُرِيدُ الْآخِرَةِ. Because you fought among yourselves and you disobeyed the Prophet after he has shown you the beginning of the victory, some of you wants this life, some of you wants the hereafter. So the bottom line and the conclusion, how do I know that something is act of Allah, act of God, or something that I have earned? Can I throw myself in the freeway in front of a car and say it's the will of Allah? No. If the punishment comes because of something wrong you have done, it's you. Blame yourself. Okay? Just like the Battle of Uhud. Okay? On the other hand, if the punishment that came to you out of your hand, you haven't done anything wrong. You're not driving. You're not drinking and driving. You're paying attention. You did everything that Allah wants you to do. But you got an accident. Then now it's قُلْ لَنْ يُصِيبَنَا إِلَّا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَهُ. It's from Allah. That's an act of God. That's not your fault. That's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants that. So this is the way you figure it out. And then why would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punish you? Finally. The last final promise. Why would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punish you? Very simple. Just imagine you have a son. Just imagine you have a son. And then your son is doing something wrong. And you still pretend that nothing wrong happened. And you let him what? Let him get away with it. And you still support him. Then he does something worse. And you still nothing wrong. You're not punishing him. And then he keeps doing bad stuff. And you're not. You're a bad father. You're not. You're destroying your child. You have to do what? You have to punish him. Allah gives us gifts and punishments. So he gives us death seeking our love. Then why is the punishment? To stop us from going worse and worse and worse until we reach to the point of no return. So it is, the punishment is mercy, like the favor is also mercy. Both are mercy from Allah. Just imagine that the companions won the battle of Uhud. What are they going to say? Oh, it's okay to disobey the Prophet, man. It's okay. Remember, we disobeyed him in the battle of Uhud and we won. There is no harm. There is no harm in disobeying the Prophet. أَقُولُ قَبْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوا.